God, it's finale. Yeah, I know it's Friday, but the F kind of works. So why not go with it? Mm-hmm. Today, I'm very fortunate and very grateful to have the man of follow-up, the co-founder, I believe, right, of Curator, the technology guru, a best-selling author. You've got two books, PeopleWorks and The Conversion Code, both great, great books. Chris Smith. Chris, hello, and thanks for being on and joining us today.
Thanks for having me on, bud. Excited to be here.
Cool. So, Chris, I want to get right down to it. One of the things that I always talk about is the art of differentiation. And being different to me is what doing things that others won't do. So tell me, what is different that you're working on or different about the industry today that you guys are working on that could have an effect for us moving forward?
Well, you know what comes to mind when you ask that, David?
What's that?
Is, you know, I think about my personal journey. And I think back to when, you know, there were coaches in this industry that were writing letters telling all of their coaching clients to stay off of Facebook. I think about, you know, how there really weren't a lot of people wearing red shoes and tennis shoes on stage. It was more three-piece suits like you look great. You know what I mean? Like, you look great. I'm not knocking you, but that's not me.
No, you know? I know that.
I kind of got in the industry and, you know, worked for Realtor.com and worked for Move Inc. and had to be that corporate guy and had to wear the tie and the jacket. And I liked it. I got my first few $1,000 suits, you know, looked great. But once I kind of got into a little bit more freedom as far as just not working for anyone else, working for myself, you know, I didn't ever see anybody in this industry cussing publicly.
Right.
I didn't. We cuss on our show. I didn't see anybody in this industry wearing jeans and t-shirts and tennis shoes on stage. Now I do. I didn't see anybody in this industry drinking on the air, drinking alcohol publicly. Like, we all know a lot of realtors like to drink. We all know everybody cusses. We all know everybody would rather wear shoes. I just said, fuck it, I'm going to do it. And so that for us is a differentiator. Now, what I think you're really asking about is, what are some of the marketing tactics, right? Sure. But you mentioned my book. David, do you realize how much of a differentiator it is that I'm a best-selling author, USA Today, featured in Forbes and Fortune? I'm not even 40, dude. I'm freaking young. You know what I'm saying? And right. So when I saw Gary Keller had a book, and I looked at his books. I studied his books. I saw Stefan Swanepoel's books. And so another thing that's different about me is I'm a little bit younger than a lot of the other coaches and a lot of the other gurus in the industry.
Right.
But I never looked at that as a flaw. I looked at that as a feature. You know what I mean? I looked at that as like, I have a knowledge of new media. I love technology. I'm not saying don't use it. I'm saying use it all day. I'm not saying stay off Facebook. I'm saying run ads. I'm not saying technology is not going to help you. I'm saying technology can 10X your business, Grant Cardone style, if you use it right. So, you know, there's a lot of things different about me. I mean, look at my hair, man. Jesus. What am I to say? Like, I'm just not trying to fit into the industry. I'm seeing if the industry wants to fit into me. And I'm cool with that. And a lot of people, they don't. But, man, a lot of people, they're attracted to it. I think they were ready for a little bit of realness. I think they were ready for a little bit less fakeness. And, like, you know, the other thing, David, that I do this different is I give away everything I know. How many seminars have you been in your career where you actually didn't get any good advice unless you bought the course at the end?
Absolutely.
You see what I'm saying? So, like, actually, the fact that my book actually has all the tips and tricks without buying my course, that's different. I mean, I could keep going, but I think there's a lot of things that are different about the way we're approaching our personal brand, our business, the way we work with our customers. But those are the first few that come to mind.
Absolutely. I mean, okay. So full disclosure, Chris, I'm wearing this because I have an event to go to as soon as we're done. That's the only reason.
I was not making fun of you my whole
time. I know.
To you. And you know what I told my guys today? I say, sometimes you dress up, sometimes you dress down. You know what I mean? But like for me, you know, I just dress down a little bit more.
I think being yourself and being, they call that now being authentic, right? And doing what you got to do and showing up. I mean, if you look at anything, there's so many things that we discussed this before. There's so many things that agents refuse to do that are right in front of them. And that's why, you know, a lot of things that we talk about aren't different. They've been around for years and it just works. I mean, with you being yourself and coming out and everything you just said about drinking and about cursing and all that stuff, I get that. It's like almost like when you say, like, when you curse or when you have a drink, it's like, you know, it stops the show. It stops the scroll, so to speak, and it works, right? So, you know, you talk about, I mean, you've got so much stuff going on with Curator. Mm-hmm. You do the water cooler every week, and you brought that back, I guess, about three, four weeks ago, which I was addicted to years ago. I don't know if it was years ago, but I watched it. What do you guys – you guys have just come out with a product recently called Convert.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about how Convert works for your program?
Yeah. Well, let me just say thank you to Trish for watching and commenting. We see you guys engaging on Facebook. Thank you guys so much. And people are asking questions, which is great. That, to me, is what's so exciting. But, you know, I think it's funny, Dave, you talk about what's different about what we do. When we build software and when we try to solve problems through our products, we also think very differently than what's out there. So the traditional salesperson, have you ever used a CRM, David? Have you been using a CRM for a long time?
Sure.
And do you still hate using it, or it's a struggle to use, or you don't know if you're using the whole thing, or do you use it? I mean, I think it's a top producer. Top producer was invented in the early 90s. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, there's, if people remember, like ACT and Goldmine and some of those early day CRMs, they've been around forever. And after 30 years, it was just like, man, people still hate to use them. People still need like 3-hour trainings and they got to call the freaking help desk to get the damn thing set up. Like, maybe there's a better way. The other thing we thought was a problem was, like, have you ever had something, David, where you do a bunch of marketing and you just can't attribute if it worked or not, but you think it might have, but it might. I mean, these are real problems people have. And so, like, we thought, you know what, let's get marketing and sales to appreciate each other. So what Convert does is you go to your website, you don't go to your CRM, and you go to a piece of content, a page, a post, a listing that's consumer facing. And instead of logging into a CRM and seeing every lead you got, you just put /convert at the end of that URL, and it opens up every lead you got that read that, in the order in which they read it most recently. So, you know, we have 68,000 people in our database. If I want to just focus on the ones that read the reviews about Curator in the last 7 days, that's obviously smarter use of my time. But right. A traditional CRM, you know, all the tags and notes and stages and action plans, there's sort of like so many features that it actually made the job of, like, who should I call and why, really tough. So, yeah, I mean, we think differently with the software as well, you know, not just with the branding. But, you know, what's interesting is we don't think about it. This is really important for people to realize. I mean, we have never sat down once, David, and had a meeting about trying to be different. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. And people say, well, you know, see, the way I look at that and not thinking about it is you just do it, right? And what the mindset, I believe, of the typical real estate agent is, well, nobody else is doing it. Why should I do it? And Joe Blow said that doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So why should I do it? I mean, you know, I can talk about the fear of doing video forever. Mm-hmm. And if you're not going to do it, you're just not going to do it. And it's really not different. But what makes it different is what others won't do. And that's where I put it. But, you know, you guys sitting down, you guys are just moving forward with this fantastic mindset. I mean, I like to be a fly on the wall in some of your meetings just to see, you know, how you guys go through your stuff and plan stuff. So it's really cool. Convert sounds, you know, as I've listened to it over the last, you know, few months when you brought it out, sounds really, really amazing. I want to, again, you thank Trish for being on with that, Matt DeFady, and we have Carrie on as well. Matt asks, ask him about the disruptors these days and if they will fall off when the market drops. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, who are we talking about as disruptors here? It's fun to watch. Like, in some ways, you could say certain brokerages are disrupting other brokerages.
Right.
In some ways, you could say technology companies are disrupting brokerages. In some ways, you could say technology companies are disrupting agents. Some ways you could say teams are disrupting brokers. I mean, there's a lot of layers to that concept of change. That's really, I think, what disruption means, right? A big, yes. scary change that you might not be able to stop.
Right.
So and the way I think about it is, first and foremost, if I don't have control over something changing, I don't want to spend a lot of time on it or let it enter my mind much. So, like, you know, do you know, David, if Trump's going to get impeached? I don't.
No.
I don't think anybody does. We don't even know if there's going to be a trial. But there are literally people right now that are afraid about what will happen to the housing market if that happens. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
I got no control over that.
I do.
So I'm going to make my calls and smile and talk to people and try to, you know, think about Open Door and Zillow Offers and some of the things where people are just selling their home straight to a company, not a real estate agent.
Right.
You know what? I don't know if that's going to take off. I don't know if 10 years from now that's going to be how it's done. But I know right now I want to make as much money as possible to feed my family and accomplish my goals. So I just think fear, it causes you to kind of freeze instead of focus. So the disruptors, though, I mean, I don't know, man. Let's be honest. Like, is announcing that you're a technology company in 2019 disruptive or late to the game?
I honestly,
that's not a fair question.
It's open to interpretation, but I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, look at,
that's like me in like 20, that's me in like 2020, or excuse me, that would be me. I think the Model Ford came out in like 1908.
Yep.
That'd be like me in like 1925 saying we're embracing cars now. We're a car company. We're not a horse company anymore. I mean, I don't know that it's really that innovative or disruptive to become a technology company in the year 2020. I mean, Google was around in 97. AOL was in 92. So, you know, Apple's been around a very long time. So what's happening actually is brokerages, like normal, are behind Silicon Valley. And so the technology companies 1.0 was Realtor.com. It was right. Zillow. You know what I'm saying? It's something like an Open Door, right? It's something like Top Producer. It's something like Boomtown. You see what I'm saying? It's something like Curator. That's technology 1.0. It's technology companies building technology. Now technology 2.0 is the brokerages are either building or buying. That's actually what happens. You either build it or you buy it, right? And so I'm not sure that I would be willing to categorize some of the moves by Compass on the technology side as disruptive. Now, when you buy Contactually and a bunch of your competitors use Contactually and now you own the data of your competitors, I understand that feels disruptive, and that probably is. If Compass goes into a market and pays a team $500,000 and gives them monthly marketing fees and does stuff that no brokerage would ever even come close to offering an agent in the history of this industry, that's, to me, a little bit more disruptive. I don't really look at the tech as necessarily going to be the disruptor. I think it's a little bit more of those tactics. Like EXP is not attracting agents away from Keller Williams because of their tech, David, are they?
No, they're not.
Keller Williams agents are leaving because of math, not because of technology. They're leaving because of numbers and money, not because of coaching and tech. So I'm just not sure. I hope I gave some people some sound bites there, but overall, if I had to say, what is the potentially most disruptive thing that's going to happen? It would be if 90% of people were selling their home without an agent, just like they order a cab without a driver. And if companies begin to be who buys homes, if Amazon starts buying homes and Zillow starts buying homes, you know, that to me is probably the worst case long-term scenario for practicing agents. The brokerage is competing. That's good for agents. You know, every time EXP does something that Keller has to react to or vice versa, like Keller putting out Keller Williams Command, what do you see a week later? Hey, we're Remax. We got a platform too. Then you see an ad on Inman from Coldwell Banker or something, right? Hey, we got a CRM. Don't forget ours. You know what I'm saying? So I think that on the brokerage side, the disruption that's happening on the brokerage level is great for realtors. on the Silicon Valley side, it may not be as great for realtors long term.
No, I get that. I get that. I think the question came that was a great answer to the question. And I think it all has to do with the disruptors being in the industry, being what you said at the end, EXP, Keller Williams, because in the market, in the Northeast market, I think that's the biggest disruptor now is mm-hmm. that, you know, EXP is the latest, is the latest slice of pie that's coming out, and people don't know, and they're looking at it and saying, okay, well, is it this, this, or this? And they talk about, you talk about it's math. You're absolutely correct. And then they also say, well, you know, KV Core, they got KV Core. So, you know,
every company checks that box though, David. It's not a right. differentiator to offer your agents a platform. You know what right. I mean? That's sort of that's like a hotel saying we got beds, we got a lobby, we got AC. Oh, wow. Great. You know, I want the warm cookie. You know what I'm saying?
You're right. And this is the kind of thing that I'm hearing out there. Mm-hmm. So I want to switch gears a little bit because I want to go off. I actually quoted you earlier today in an interview I did with Sarah Kalki from Canada. Mm-hmm. And you and Jimmy said a couple of weeks ago that Zillow is a tax you pay for being bad at marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And this is all these different types of companies out there that are selling. Mm-hmm. Selling leads and costing agents an awful lot of money. What about these companies, these other companies that are actually being your ISA where, okay, so you pay Zillow for leads and you send them over to another company to actually nurture the lead.
Yeah.
So do you think that's something that's going to be around for a long time? Do you think it's something that works? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, first, let's be really clear. ISAs and that entire concept was invented a long time ago, way before real estate agents knew what it was. This is not their tactic. This is not new. This is something invented at Salesforce, actually.
Right.
Back in the early 2000s. A guy named Aaron Ross. It's a great book, David. It's called Predictable Revenue. And the concept is very sound. You want your salespeople selling, not prospecting, right? If
right.
you have someone on your team, if every day they have showings with buyers, not trying to call to get a showing with a buyer, they're going to be more productive. If you have listing presentations every day, you're going to be more productive. But of course, let's say you have 4 listing presentations today, then you don't have any time to put one on your calendar tomorrow. See what I mean? So that's called the vicious cycle. You have this up and down of production. So people want predictable revenue. So what the ISA does is they're just prospecting nonstop. And that way the calendar is always full for the salespeople. It's a great model. But at the same time, do you want to know the real reason it's so popular?
What's that?
Because the way that most people do marketing, the internet leads that they're generating are shit. So nobody wants to shovel shit. And so when you have a conversion rate of less than 1%, and when you have to call 100 people a day to get a couple of them to pick up, like, this is not your sphere. This is not your past clients. This is the internet. And it's right. kind of a whole new world for most realtors. They just don't really understand what to do. You see what I'm saying? So right. what happens is if I'm used to following the Buffini method and I'm used to sort of working with my past clients, and then all of a sudden, guess what I got to do, David? I got to call 100 internet leads and the first 30 tell me they've already got an agent and they're just curious if the home was still for sale and they're not right. looking to go see it yet. I wouldn't right. want to do that either. But that's what it takes to convert internet leads. So what we believe is a little bit of a different philosophy that you should try to attract people. You shouldn't have to chase people. And so the point would be that if your marketing is great and your marketing is a magnet, and it attracts people to your brand the way ours does, the way a lot of our clients does, you don't necessarily have to smile and dial, burn and churn, boiler room tactics, even right. though for most people, they should deploy those. So, you know, I think the ISA is not going away because it's going to always suck to make calls. Absolutely. So when a job sucks, you're going to find a lower waged person to do that job so that you don't have to. So I don't see it going away. But I think it's going to be a revolution. Like if you were to meet my ISA, David, you wouldn't recognize her. you would never think of her as the way you think of an ISA, you know, pounding the phones, trying to convert leads, trying to book appointments, you know, you're picturing maybe some smelly dude, you know, walking around with his headset on and stuff. Like, our ISA Amber is, you know, she's a mom, she got two kids, she's on the phone talking pleasantly to people. She doesn't have to, I don't know if she's made 50 calls in the whole 3 years she's been with us in one day, because she makes 15 and five of the people already want to talk to her. So that's what we say about, like, you know, the tax. It's not just the financial cost of Zillow.
Right.
It's the opportunity cost of your time as well. You know, yes, two or three out of those 100 leads might convert, but that 97. The other thing would be if my Zillow, like, we have clients that are paying $40,000 a month for Zillow. I have a client in Indiana. I mean, God, he's in Indiana. He's not in Beverly Hills. He's in Indiana, and he's paying $134,000 a month for Zillow and Realtor.com only. So when the prices get that high, all of a sudden you got to look at that and go, wow, I could hire full-time employees for that. Yep. I could literally dominate Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and have some billboards for that. So the prices on Zillow have gotten so high that there's an opportunity cost to that now. And we're just trying to show people, where else could you spend that money? There are more than one way to skin a cat, David. You know what I'm saying? It ain't like your job's Zillow or nothing. It's Zillow or something. Sometimes it's Zillow and something. You know what I mean?
I do. I want to go a little deeper with the lead thing that you just talked about, right? Mm-hmm. So we know that the conversion rate on this on these leads is 1-3% on a national basis, right? And I always thought that, you know, there's kind of a rule of thirds here, where a third of them are going to buy within 6 months, a third of them are going to buy within 24 months, and a third aren't going to buy a thing. Mm-hmm. So when we're talking about the 1-3%, is it possible that the ISA, or doing it a different way, such as using a great guide I heard of called the Conversion Code, mm-hmm. Could that increase that 1-3% to maybe 10%?
Well, winging it's not going to increase it.
True.
You know, that's what most folks do. They just wing it. They just
answer
the phone and say, what's up? And they take it from there. So, yeah, you can double or triple your conversion rate if you go from no systems and processes to proven systems and processes. One of the things Jimmy always says is that a bad plan still beats no plan. You know what I mean? So at least you got a plan. At least you got a goal. At least you got a framework. At least you know what you're going to ask. Like, that stuff can skyrocket people's conversions. But the other thing you said is so true. I remember when I actually got to interview Gary Keller in his private office, one of the things that he told me was people are too obsessed with their checking account. And because of that, they live check to check. And if you focus as much on your savings account as you do on your checking account, it's a better life long term, even though maybe month to month your checking account's not as big. And so that's how I think of what you just said, David, because the ones that are going to convert this year, those are your checking account leads. But the ones that are going to convert next year or the year after, those are your savings account leads. And so what we see at Curator is we see this like hockey stick growth curve, right? Where you may come in and 6 or 9 months in, you're like, man, is this even working? Is this even worth it? You know, should I be making this investment? And then it's like, whoa, holy cow, my business tripled. You know what I mean? So like sales and appointments, they always kind of trail marketing. You know, it's not always day one. And then, you know, day one, we get you 100 leads. Then you get 100 more, 100 more, 100 more, 100 more. And then you're right. The ones that are coming in now, a couple of them do a deal. But now you've built up that pipeline of people that are 6 months old, 9 months old, 12 months old, 15 months old, 18 months old. Like the stickiness of a Curator client is very simple, David. People either quit and give up in the first 6 months or they stay forever. Because once you hit a tipping point, you win. But a lot of people are not quite patient enough to hit that tipping point. There's a great quote by Disney. I'm in Orlando. And he says the difference between winning and losing is most often not quitting. And so that's what I find is people just give up too fast, basically.
Well, that's like you said, the hockey stick. I like to look at it the same way, but with a little bit different twist. I look at it as I'm sure you heard of this, the J curve, right? Mm-hmm. So with J, they're going down. And right at the bottom, before it starts going up and showing results, is where they quit. Like you said, either they stay 6 months or they stay forever. That 6 months is where they quit. That's the bottom of that J before it starts going up.
It's now, basically that darkest, you know, the brightest days, darkest nights. And it and I get it. Like, listen, we are very good at this. I wrote the book on this. But if anybody watching thinks they're ever going to be able to attribute it, everything that happens online to every deal, you can't. But I will say this. We have clients that are crazy about asking every customer, where'd you hear about us? How'd you find out about us? Why did you hire us? Where did you learn about us? And guess what happens if you do want to get that granular? There's a big ROI. It's just hard. You know what I mean? So like if somebody saw a Facebook ad, but they registered through your website, if you go and ask them like, how'd you hear about us? What do you think they're going to say? They might say from your website, but they might say from a Facebook ad. Both are true. So do I attribute that lead to Facebook or do I attribute it to my website? Because my website convinced them to register, but Facebook's what got them there. But then some people that Facebook gets there, that the website gets to register, they actually don't respond until an email goes out a couple months later. So did the email get them, David, or did the ad get them, or did the website get them? Do you see what I'm saying, dude?
Yeah, it's
impossible. Like, well, you can track it all, but it's really hard to know. Like, Google calls it the zero moment of truth. And you guys should all look that up. There's a great PDF. It's like an ebook that Google put out for free because they have so much consumer insights from all these searches. And basically it's like search, 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 anonymous, 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 anonymous. Screw it. I'm going to reach out. And in that zero moment of truth, it's incredibly difficult to say, what were those 72 things that caused that screw it, I'm going to reach out moment? Was it the design of my site? Was it the words? Was it my headshot? Was it our Facebook presence? Was it someone that told them to go check me out? It's hard, man. But the people that track, they're up and to the right. You know, they're up and to the right.
But wouldn't you agree that that's all due to everything you're doing? If you're just going to do one thing, like worry about getting people to your website, that it could work, but it won't. But my favorite thing to try to get people to do is to have an omnipresence in their marketplace.
Yeah.
And that's what you just said. You said Facebook, website, even Instagram for that matter. I mean, it's all part of what you need to be doing to be known, which is a great book by Mark Schaefer, by the way.
Yeah.
And just to get out there. And then you talked about, you know, there's so many references here. I mean, like you're talking about, you know, look at your savings account for later on. I mean, that's also a great book, Profit First, called Mike McCallum.
You said omnipresent, right?
Yep.
So there's actually a term in marketing called omni-channel marketing. I want everybody to look that up because that's what the consumer really does. Because think about it. You're on Zillow as an ad. Where do you think I'm at before I see your ad on Zillow and after I see your ad on Zillow? I'm probably on Instagram. And then I close that, right? And then I go on Zillow, and then I see you, and then I close that. And then I go on Twitter and see, you know, what's trending, and then I close that. And then I check my email, right? And then I close that, and then I go on Facebook. So that's like the consumer is omni-channel. Are you? That's what you're saying. And omni-channel in the past was mail, newspaper, radio, you know what I mean? Local events. You know what I'm saying? Omnichannel today. Listen, you asked what's different to start this call. What's different right now is that if you're not using Instagram, you're crazy. If you're not creating stories, you're behind the curve. Like Instagram is the next big thing. And that's going to basically be that Instagram, Facebook is really what we're focusing on. We actually announced last week internally, we're announcing next week, or the week after externally, we've got huge plans to help real estate agents grow their business using Instagram, stories, polls, countdowns,
gifts,
videos, swipe up. Like we have spent about a year analyzing how the industry is using Instagram, the good, the bad, the ugly, And right now it is the golden age of Instagram, David. Right now you can get the organic engagement on Instagram that we used to get on our Facebook page for free.
Yep.
What happened? Oh, we're public. Oh, we got to make money. Oh, pages have no free reach. So that's why we manage Facebook ads. Because right. all we did was post it on people's Facebook page for them. They would fire us in 1 month because Facebook pages without an ad don't get a lot of reach. Well, guess right. what's happening on Instagram right now?
Same thing.
Right now, the organic reach is there. Right now, you can get a lot of likes and a lot of story views and a lot of video views without an ad. But what's going to happen, my friend, 6 months from now, 12 months from now, that free reach is going to go down a little bit. That pay to play is going to kick in a little bit. And what happens, David, is if you don't do a little bit with the platform organically and you don't get some results without paying, you're way less inclined to pay to play. But if you had a Facebook page for 5 years and it made you a bunch of money, and then you got an alert that said, hey, you got to pay now, you don't care. You're making money.
That's right.
So you see what I'm saying? So what we're doing right now is we're dominating Instagram organically and helping people with ads. But in the future, we can see a situation where you will probably have to pay to get the big exposure.
Yeah, it's not funny that you say that, because 2 weeks ago, I had Chelsea Pites on, mm-hmm. and we talked about that in the last third of our conversation. And she believes, and she also said this at Agent 2021, where, you know, Instagram stories is really one of the most important things you should be doing to get more known and to get out there more. So Instagram is the place to be, and you're right, because it's the same path that you're seeing from Facebook to Instagram. Mm-hmm. What about IGTV? Tell me, what kind of a place is that going to have?
Yeah, well, let me be really clear. Video is where these companies make a ton of money, because a video ad or a video pre-roll or a video that runs in between a video as an ad costs the company that buys that ad more typically than a static ad, okay? And then on top of that, live viewers, I mean, look at Facebook Live. We're on it right now.
Right.
YouTube's pushing live. Instagram's got live. So Zuckerberg has said very clearly, we're going to be a player in the video space. I could actually see Facebook buying Netflix.
Interesting.
They want to be one of the dominating players in video, live and recorded. Okay. And so my guess is, and we actually saw this happen last week, David, IGTV was a little bit tucked away. You know, you could see it maybe through the top, or you could see it if you went to someone's profile. Guess what they're doing now? They're putting your IGTVs in your feed as a post. And right. then driving people. Did you see that?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
What that means is don't stop, because they're not stopping. You see what I'm saying? Now, again, and it's early days. So the ability to get free views is very high. The ability to get those free views long term will go down. Like, listen, on YouTube changed a few policies a few years ago that killed us. You know, we have 14,000 people that subscribe to our YouTube channel. And if we put an episode up with a water cooler, it'll get like 40 views. It's like, what the hell? We got 14,000 people that said, send me their stuff. And we're getting 40 views, 50 views. Well, you know what they did? They added a double opt-in. There's a bell. And you got to not only subscribe, you got to double opt-in and click the bell. And then you get the email alerts when they post a new video. So it killed the reach of YouTube videos again without paying to play and boosting the video longer term. So, you know, I would say, if you're watching this, you're definitely sold on video, or you wouldn't be watching it. And whether it's IGTV, YouTube, Facebook, you've either got to figure out a way for yourself or someone who works for you to take advantage of that medium. You're crazy not to. And it's great to see people like Chelsea, people like yourself, people like us, you know, maybe kind of pioneering it and pushing it. But eventually it'll be just like everything else. It really won't be optional. So much of the content that's already being consumed is video and audio. So if you're just writing, you're already kind of losing. All the bloggers from the late 2000s, like people like myself from 2008 to 2014 that were actually bloggers, they're all podcasters now.
Right.
I mean, there's really no bloggers. They're right. Podcasters.
Yeah, so, the blog is your video. The blog is your podcast.
I mean, I got a written book and I got an audio book, and the audio book went more viral because people don't want to read. They want to listen. They want to jog. They want to shower. They want to go to the gym. They want to drive around to their appointments and be able to consume stuff. Right. So you're asking about video. Audio has to be in the conversation too, because absolutely. I can't watch your water. I can't watch the water cooler while I'm driving. I shouldn't, at least. You know what I mean? So anyway, that goes back to omni-channel. There's a lot of channels to check the box for.
So you know, we've been on for a while. We got to get rolling here. I got a couple of quick questions, quick hits. So if there was one place, one channel that people need to be, you know, we've talked about YouTube, we've talked about Facebook, we've talked about Instagram. If there's one place where people need to perfect themselves and to get really good at, what would that be?
Email.
Awesome. Look at that. Tell us a little bit more about that. I got to ask.
Well, email marketing is the number one ROI in digital marketing for a decade. It's just that it's not as cool and new as an exciting, right? So it's very, very rare that you get an ad that leads to a customer right away, because especially if you sell houses, you know, it's just, they're not buying a book, not buying socks, they're not buying a cooler. You know, they don't just click and buy. And so, yeah, email marketing is where the money is made. Email marketing is where we are able to identify who we should call or not. Email marketing is where we get people that became a lead to click a link to go to a webinar to watch a live stream that buy at the end. So if you look at the current state of real estate agent email marketing, it's nauseating. It's either tons of pictures of a listing, or it's this ugly newsletter, or it's nothing, by the way. A lot of people have chosen to be invisible instead of cheesy. You know what I'm saying? I don't even know what to send. I'd rather just send nothing. So I would say, if I were looking to say, what is the smartest thing to get better at? The reason I say email, David, it ain't going away. What do you use to sign up for all these social networks? Use your email.
Email.
You know what I mean? I've had the same email address for 12 years. I've jumped around which social network I like the most a couple times in that same time frame. Now, sure. I'm very well known in my book for saying Facebook is the internet. And Facebook is where you get your traffic. Facebook is where you get the people to join your email list through your offers.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I probably would rather just keep my email list if I had to choose.
All right, cool. So look, we got it. We're coming up on a few things, and I want to thank you for coming on. And everybody, I want to quick hit really quickly is, next week we've got Jimmy Mackin coming on.
Nice.
The other curator. So we got Jimmy coming on, and I know, you know, a lot of these guys are hard to get on this show, and they're all really great. So I want to thank you so much, Chris. And I know you wouldn't have come on if you didn't know you were going to get one of these hats.
Wow, I love it.
So we're gonna get this out to you.
Cool.
As a gift for being on the show.
Thank you.
And look, man, thank you so much. There's a lot of great nuggets coming on. And I want to thank everybody that was watching, including Matt DeFady and Trish Lito and Carrie and some other people that were on. And I want to thank you so much. And look, we'll be in touch. Thanks so much for your time. And just stay on for a quick minute.
Yep.
And thank to everybody for being on. Thanks so much, Chris.
Thanks, David.
And of course, they can find you at curator.com. Is there a way that people can find you personally or find your company?
If they can't find me, I'm in trouble. They can find me.
All right, great. Thanks a lot. See everybody real soon.